Blog Talk Radio.
Make some noise.
Okay, we're going to get into this thing. The cookout has begun. We are back in the building, or better yet, we took our talents outside so we could roam around Sports City. I have to fight the faces of evil out here at Sports City. It's your boy, T.P. Thomas, the host, holding it down for the next 60 minutes or so. I am joined by yours truly, the villain, Barry Jordan, in the building. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling quite lovely. I'm the Hollywood Hogan of this show right here. You the fake Hulk Hogan. I got to put a leg drop on you and let you know. Listen, it's on, baby. It's on. Let's go. Let's get these dishes going. I'm ready to eat.
See, Sports City, you're already trying to swing at me, right? So this is what I got to deal with, Sports City. Look, this is what I got to deal with, Sports City. So as I want y'all to, like, close your eyes and visualize what I deal with. You know what I'm saying? So this is how we're going to get down, right? So 7 days ago, Sports City, I sat right here in this very seat cooking up as best as I could here at the cookout. I had the charcoal already, the lighter fluid. I got the match. I lit this thing up, started to show off, did the introduction, and he swung at me, Sports City. And he hit me dead on my chin, right? And I'm like, yo, I took that on the chin, and I came back and did what I did, got through the show, and we started eating, doing what we needed to do. But now, this is part two, people. We're at the cookout. And they say, leave the revenge for the man upstairs. So it's only right that karma comes back into the kitchen. So right now, the Boogie Down Bronx Bombers are in some mayhem right now up against the Tampa Bay Rays 5-1. And it's getting into a home run season. They already knocked Tanaka out. This series is tied up 1-1. Uh-oh, what's going on with the Bronx Bombers? You tell me now.
I mean, listen, thanks for that fine layup. I get to the alley-oop, I get to slam home. I think people gave the Rays they deserve, but I don't think they get enough credit for how really good that team is. And they're showing it tonight. Listen, Tanaka, the first game against Cleveland, he gave up about 4 runs. People thought, hey, the weather was bad, wind was blowing out, blah, blah, blah. But, listen, it's not a game now. He struggled today a little bit with location, left a fastball up, and hung a slider, I think, and got a 3-run home run to hit against him. So, playoff Tanaka I was hoping to see tonight, didn't really see that. It wasn't a terrible performance, but when Charlie Morton is, basically doing what he can to keep the Yankee hitters off balance and really mixing that two-seam fastball in the outside corner, throwing that slider, it's kind of hard to combat. Now, listen, the Yankees had Morton off the ropes, and Judge came up with bases loaded and popped out. Flied out, and it had a sac fly. Only to come up with 1 run out of that inning when you got bases loaded, I think was 1 out. I think that was a big disappointment. And true to form, the next inning, Tanaka gives up the 3-1 bomb. So, I mean, I thought this series would go 5. I hope it gets there. If they can come back tonight, because that lineup is loaded. They're savages, as we know. But against that Rays bullpen, one of the best in baseball, if not the best, it's a lot to ask. So, we got to see what happens, but it's going to be a tall order for the Yankees to come back against the best team in the American League, and by far.
Sports City, I do a good job, don't I? Because you see the villain stutter. this is when they got him flipping over his penny loafers and everything. This is what
wow.
happened. You see, I took the poor boy. I came in here screaming at the Twins. I know how to do this. I do this. This is how, at the end of the show, when you're watching the Scooby-Doo show, and they got him all tied up, and you ripped the mask off of the villain's face, and you see Barry Jordan. This is exactly what happened. You started when we got him, car sheriff, take him there. Book him, let me say one thing though
that I have to say it on this show before anything. That kid, Arzarena, is a beast. Have you been watching this series? Have you been watching him? I mean, he's he's 3-for-3 tonight. I mean, I don't think they've gotten him out all series. This guy is amazing. This is a star on the come. You get to see him a little bit here when the Yankees play the Rays, and I got to be honest, I don't watch a lot of Rays games unless I'm playing the Yankees and maybe the Mets. To see this guy hit, I mean, he hits fastballs, he hits hard stuff, slow stuff. It's hard to fool him. This guy is a star. And I thought Lowell was the best player on the Rays, and he's struggling right now. I think he's 0 for his last 12. Arzarena is the guy that's going to be – this is a good young Rays baseball club, and they're fun to watch. Not right now because they're playing my Yankees, but they're going to be a fun team for a couple of years.
Sports City, he's stuttering. He's calling them fun to watch. He already has the Mets as a backup team. Hold on. I let you do all of your talking. He's got the Mets as a backup team to escape the Bronx. He already knows it's going down. There's a song from the 80s that it just reminds me of, and it's, oh, here she comes. Watch out for her. She'll do you up. Oh, here she comes.
Didn't we promise that you weren't going to sing on this show, because you know you're not Luther Vandross. You know the villain can just blow it down.
That's not Luther. That's not Luther. That's not Luther.
But you not. No, I said you not Luther. You not Luther. Okay, I'm coming in. I'm Tina. I'm about to come in there and tell you ain't down to summer.
when Tina hit that bomb, I was like,
yeah.
So amazing, and I've been
exactly. I mean, Kiermaier hits Tanaka pretty well. I think that's his third home run against Tanaka in his career, and you know, the bottom of the order, you know, pulled it off and really put it, you know, got him out of the game. So, and it's crazy. You know, I was going to talk about yesterday's game, how the Yankees, you know, tried to outmanage themselves by having Garcia only pitch one inning and then bring in Happ, you know, so they did like an opener and had Happ pitch a couple innings, and he was basically a disaster, left a fastball over the middle of the plate, and I think it's still going. So, you know, Cash is I don't want to say outmanaging Boone right now, but the moves that Boone is making aren't paying dividends, and you know, I don't think Cash has to do much. I mean, he's got his lineup is hitting. His pitchers are getting out. So, I mean, you know, it's really like on cruise control for him right now. I don't think he's had a tough situation so far.
Man, just give the guy credit, man. Stop hopscotching,
no,
man.
No,
it's
no,
okay.
He's a terrific manager. I'm not
okay.
Taking
okay, that's
me.
What you have to say. Stop hopscotching. It's okay. It's all right. If you need a shoulder to cry on,
wow.
We all need somebody.
Here you go.
Go ahead.
Crazy Joe, right? You crazy Joe now?
Go ahead.
I'm telling.
Go ahead. You go ahead with that. Okay, so listen. Sports City, I'm having a little fun with him because this is when he started to show up on me, so I had to start to show up like this right now, but never fear, the Yankees are still in the game, so they could get into this game with a couple of swings of the bat. So, but this isn't the old Yankees like Jeter, but the mystique is still there for them to get the job done. Okay, so
absolutely.
Let's spark the grill up as the Yankees just scored a run, too. This one makes it even more interesting.
Did you watch the early game? Did you take a look at the Astros and the Athletics? They tied it up 1-1.
Right, and the crazy part about that game is the Astros looked like they were going to take care of business and make this a 3-0 situation. And Oakland must have got back into that clubhouse around the seventh inning and said, oh, no, you don't. It was 4-7 at that time, and they tied it up at 7-7 and ended up putting two more runs up around that time of the inning and ended up winning the game 9-7. This is clearly looking like one of those offensive battles where you got to respect and love these type of games. Your thoughts on this Astros team that looked like they could have been up 3-0, but Oakland fought back.
I mean, Oakland's the better team. I don't, you know, I'm not surprised, but I think, you know, Houston came out swinging the first game and kind of had the Athletics on their heels. But, you know, listen, Chad Pinner, you know, he came up big three-run home run in the seventh. Sean Murphy with the go-ahead, I think it was a sack fly after that. I was kind of watching a little bit in and out. But, I mean, you know, listen, the Athletics, even though they're down a man, I think Chapman's hurt, but they're still a very good team out there, and they won that division going away. I think, you know, Houston, listen, it's hard for me because, listen, I haven't talked to you about Houston. They're cheaters. I mean, they're a good team, don't get me wrong, but they cheated. And I think now they want to make a run in this and be vindicated for their cheating. I mean, like, you know, you're still a cheater. You still cheated. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, listen, you made a nice series out of the Twins, and you got game one, but, you know, and you want everybody to respect your gangster. But, I mean, like, dude, you still cheated. You know what I'm saying? You went above and beyond to get an advantage over teams, and you probably didn't even need that kind of advantage. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think anybody this season's hit over 270. So, I mean, you know, it hurts not to have the drum in the background, but still, you know, we said it last week, with the injuries they had, they're still a good team, and they showed it. But I think the A's are going to be too much for them. I really feel like, you know, that offense came alive. You know, it's the adage, you're only as good as the next day starter. But I feel like there is a such thing as a momentum in baseball, especially in the playoffs. And I think if the bats can get, you know, stay awoke, they should be able to take care of the A's. I mean, the Astros.
Sports City, he's crying, and I'm trying to help him get through
crying.
This. He's talking about years past, and this is the playoffs that he's talking about.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
This is you last week. This is all you this week at the start of the show. This is you. People are hearing you stutter and cry at the same time. You know what? I hope you have some Scotch tissue. Go roll up some and keep it next to you, near and dear to your heart. That's okay. I'm with you here. I'm here to support you. Mm-hmm. I am the superhero to help take care of the villain. You know the villain will end up turning his back sometime on me. It'll happen. But right now, I got to console him, make him feel good, help him see the good in his life. You know what I'm saying? But it's okay. We all need somebody to lean.
Do you watch the boys on Amazon?
We're gonna move on because you're eating up the show crying. I can't have you up here crying. I can't do this.
Wow.
This is enough. Okay.
Fine. Moving on.
Yes, I'm going. I'm trying to get there. Okay, so Sports City, as I have a lot of fun with the villain, this is so awesome today. I'm in a very somber mode at the state of sports right now. First and foremost, I do want to start with the state of the NFL and everything that's going on with the COVID-19 situation. Now, we're having more situations pop up with people being infected with the virus, in which in the Monday night matchup, the Chiefs ended up winning the matchup up against the Patriots, where the Patriots tried to make a game of it, but it got completely out of hand once Hoyer had the crazy situation at halftime where he could have ended up tying the game up. I really question the referees on that interception/fumble, whatever it was, could have been, because that whistle was not blown when that ball was let go, but they closed the door on that situation, and you can tell who the new face of the NFL is right now. It's almost like you've seen it with Brady, and now you see it with Mahomes right now, and he wasn't in the dirt or anything. That was a lost ball, and that was supposed to be going the other way, whether if he got caught or not, it was, you know, the Patriots' ball. But Hoyer, you're disgusting. I don't understand how you had a job elsewhere and was playing ridiculous for them to go to Stidham, and then Stidham play even worse. And Belichick, I respect the hell out of you. I call you the GOAT. But for you to actually start the preseason off and say that any of these guys is giving Cam Newton some run at the starting position for you was unreal. Like, not watching them in that game, and where it got completely out of hand, and Kansas City took care of business. But now, neither here nor there, I'm getting away from the topic that I was trying to address with the COVID situation. Stephon Gilmore is now contracted the COVID-19 situation, and he's going to be out with the quarantine as well. And I feel bad because this is the New England Patriots, and a lot of, you know, the networks follow the Patriots. And as much as people don't like them, this is one of America's teams. And people are going to have to, like, wait till they can get another game like this in their bye week and play the Patriots or what have you. You also have another player coming out of the Titans organization who has it as well. You have Mahomes that came out with a statement. They have pictures of him and Gilmore hugging at the end of the game, and his statement was it was a mental lapse because he wasn't thinking about it being close and having contact with the person that had the COVID-19 after the meeting or after the matchup. So this can end up spiraling out of hand with a lot of teams that aren't having matchups. You have the likes of the Titans being a team, the Patriots being another team. You have the Chiefs that just played the Patriots, so they were around at least Gilmore within the game too. So, Barry, your thoughts on how this could affect teams wholeheartedly as we move forward and actually getting close to Week 5?
So I don't think the Patriots game is in jeopardy yet, because I think Gilmore is the only one on the Patriots that came up positive, correct? And the Titans what's going on is the Titans aren't managing this the way they really should. So they had a couple days, consecutive days, of no positive tests, and then they got two players, I think today, Corey Davis and another player I don't know. They're positive. So now that's 12 players and 10 personnel people on the Titans that have come up positive. But then they had a workout, TP. They had a workout at a high school when they weren't supposed to get together. So it's like, listen, the fact that the NFL is doing this season is a miracle in itself. And the only reason they're doing it is, one, because they're the NFL. And two, because the testing has gotten to the point where they can catch it in time. So it's not because they have inoculations or any kind of treatment that they can do. It's because they can test. So players still have to be mindful. People in the offices still have to be mindful that they can still get the COVID. So if they don't get this under control, I don't see the NFL walking back and canceling the season. But what I think might happen, and if you disagree, that's totally cool, but I think what's going to happen is they're going to have a shutdown for a week or two, shut everything down, get it under control, and then get it started again, push it back a couple of weeks, or take two games off of the schedule. I think that the NFL made a mistake in not kind of mirroring what the MLB did. So the MLB condensed their season. They kept them at least on the East Coast, so they only played, you know, NL East teams only played the NL East and the AL East, and et cetera, et cetera. So kept them in a kind of a time zone and really kind of not in a bubble situation, but really kind of controlled it. You got some NFL teams like the Jets and the Giants that can't have fans in the stands, and then you have some like the Chiefs that can have fans in the stands. I think they should have had a blanket and had everybody have nobody in the stands, to be honest with you. I mean, yeah, they're losing money, but you wanted to have this season, so that's the give and take that you got to have. So I honestly think that a bubble situation won't work for the NFL just because you just have to be in contact with people on such a high level. And it'll be hard to have 32 teams in one bubble area, have, you know, 32 teams that'll be like 16 games, maybe a couple less because of bye weeks or what have you. It's not feasible. So I think what's going to happen is they're going to probably halt it for a little bit. If the cases keep rising, if they can control who's got it now, I think they're in the clear. But if you start seeing Gilmore give it to Mahomes and Mahomes give it to people on his team and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, then we got a problem.
I think the governor of Florida, I'm not sure if it's the governor of Florida or the mayor of Miami, has just cleared the Dolphins to have full capacity of 65,000 people to go to their next home game. So
wow.
Especially in one of the epicenter states in the country that had bad backlash from the COVID-19 situation as well. That comes into play. You also have Darius Slay saying in the 49ers game on Monday night, he felt like they shouldn't have played. And him actually, you know, getting injured in the midst of that. But I don't think any, you know, cases arise that threatened the Eagles in that matchup too, where they ended up getting their first win also. But this is something that they're going to have to watch all across the board, especially with these teams that are coming into play and some of the teams that are missing games. You have people like Big Ben saying that they're getting the short end of the stick, missing that game up against the Titans. But it's like, how could you complain like that, Ben, when there's nothing they can do? They don't know how to stay away from it, or they're trying their best to follow protocol. Only like the Rams are going to be, well, looking at being disciplined because they actually were out, you know, doing things unmasked or things of that nature. But people are trying. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to get in the line of being, you know, jeopardized or hurting others. Like, well, unless they're tackling. But other than that, like, not in a sense of livelihood and health in that manner. So
right.
This is all an uphill battle, and this is uncharted territory that we're having to deal with right now in the NFL.
I mean, do you think it's going to be a shutdown, TP? Do you think they're going to have to halt it?
I never thought about that idea, and that's an interesting idea, but you and I are both Busta Rhymes fans, and he had a song that said, money talks, BS walks.
BS walks.
And you already know that they're chasing the dollar. That's why they didn't think this out, like you said, with the MLB or the NBA did, trying to bubble this thing out. They just tried to hurry up and get everybody out there. You got to think, this is football. They are actually grabbing one another. They are actually tackling each other, trying to get to the ground. They are actually blocking each other and trying to keep, you know, holes open, things of that nature. So they are making contact. There are more than six people in groups on every play. There's at least eight people at the line of scrimmage. There's at least five offensive linemen and three defensive linemen if they're in a 3-4 or 5-4 or 5-5 or however it presents itself up front. It's like that. So this is something that they didn't think out, and now it's, you know, it's jeopardizing the situation. So I never thought about that. Me personally, I don't want to see it like that, but yes, it is a great idea. I cannot poo-poo that by any means. If they try to clear the air, and if it helps everybody be cleared, then do it necessarily. The villain finally came up with something smart, people, so I like
and
that.
You,
if they haven't
you, you
thought
know
about
what?
That yet, he does something good.
Exactly. I mean, I want to record that. I want everybody to hear that TP says that the villain came up with a good idea and he agrees with the villain. I mean, I want everybody to know that. But seriously, though, honestly, I think if you were going to get rid of the preseason, which I think was, you know, I'd like the preseason for young kids to get a chance to show what they can do. Austin Eckler is a guy that if there was no preseason, he wouldn't be in the NFL. He wouldn't be getting that big contract. I hope he gets better. The hamstring injury, you know, always sucks. But I think limiting the preseason was a good idea. I don't think completely shutting it off and having no preseason wasn't a great idea. But if you were going to do that, why not start the league a little earlier? Give yourself a couple weeks to have a cushion so that if something, an outbreak happens, you could just shut it down. But then the timeline doesn't really get messed up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I don't know. I really feel like they thought they were the NFL. They could get it done because they're the NFL. They're obviously the most popular sport in the country. And, you know, as far as popularity, maybe in the world next to soccer. I mean, it's not a global sport, but I mean, you know what I mean? It's a big entity in the United States and money wise. So I just feel like they just didn't have a great plan. It just they just really didn't. I think they thought they can get through it, and that was it.
Okay. So speaking on plans, you know, I'm going to talk about plans, right? So how are you feeling right now, Barry? You feeling okay?
I'm good. The villain's good. I mean, it's
7-2.
I get it.
I'm feeling good with you. Wait, just hang on, because I'm feeling very good with you, right? So there's a song from back in the day, around like the 70s, and they did it over and over, but it goes like this. How do I say goodbye?
I didn't come back for this.
Hold on. I'm trying to make you feel good. The good times.
No.
You got a vibe with me. This is good. Way the past. You ready for this, Barry?
Hold on, Barry.
Entering into the building, Sports City, we have Aaron Sirius Simmons coming into the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
You know, I'm good, man. Fresh out of church, dealing with these young people, man. God is good. You know what I'm saying? They, people
all the time.
Me, what's up, man? What's up?
Okay. So, sports, like, so we sat here in this doggone kitchen, right? And we were being contested. You know what I'm saying? About how things is going to go down with Atlanta and Green Bay and things of that nature. And I'm like, are you serious? He, you know, like serious? Are you serious? And he was like, yeah, I'm serious. You know, I'm serious. You know, okay. So I was like, come into the kitchen and get your dishes. You know what I'm saying? So he kind of changed my speed. Because I was feeling a certain way about the topic we had going on. I don't want to stay too somber on the situation. But as things happened in Green Bay, it did not go the way that he wanted it to go. And, man, he tried to put his family on me. You know what I'm saying? He had cousins and all of them trying to come for me, you know, like, and his cousins started siding with me. So I feel like I'm really a part of the Simmons family. You know what I'm saying? They told me to come.
Hold on.
They told me to come to the cookout and everything. You know what I'm saying? So now I'm like, so Sirius is here. And you remember this too, Barry, when we said Green Bay should take care of Atlanta because how bad Atlanta is, and they took care of Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? Right, Barry?
Yeah, I mean, the Little League team could take care of Atlanta right now. I mean, come on.
Right. And so Sirius up here trying to, like, you know, try to speak it out there like, yo, you know what, I was wrong. I don't want to give TP, you know, I don't want to let him get his head all big, all this. I'm like, yo, just come in the kitchen, dude. Do what you need to do. Tell us you go some type of way. You want to apologize? You can do it. You can do what you need to do. You know? So I'm trying to help pick you up, Barry, you know, because I've been beating you up, punching you while you're down. So, serious. Tell us how you feel about that matchup.
So, real talk, gentlemen. For starters, I said what I said on social media. I tagged you both in that post. So there's no poo-pooing what I said. You know what I'm saying? It's right there in black and white. I honestly felt that based on the situation that the Green Bay Packers found themselves in and the desperate situation that the Atlanta Falcons found their way in, I honestly felt and thought that this would be a better matchup. Clearly, the Atlanta Falcons are as bad as their record indicates. They did not show up at all. Like, the Green Bay Packers did whatever the heck they wanted to do. And so as a man of my word, you know what I'm saying, you said that, you know, you were going to come for me on social media on Monday, on Tuesday, if the Falcons laid an egg. You ain't have to come for me. I came for myself. You know what I'm saying? I honestly, at the end of the day, sometimes, you know, desperate people, you know, don't do desperate things. Hell, the Houston Texans fired Bill O'Brien.
Hold on. Don't say Houston. Wait. Stay out of that pot. Whoa. I didn't get to Houston. Wait. I didn't get to Houston.
Let me make my point.
Okay, but don't say Houston. Leave Houston out of it.
Hold on a second. Houston's part of my reasoning, okay? And again, I'm not going to dive into that whole dish per se, but it's part of my point. You know what I'm saying? At some point, Dan Quinn has to be held responsible for his actions. At some point,
how does he still have a job?
Barry, this is what I call. Like, I like serving cricket soup. But now this is what Bill Belichick called humble pie. You know what I'm saying? So, like this is you on the side of the fence with me, right, and watching me be the superhero and humble dudes like Aaron Sirius Simmons. You know what I'm saying? Because now this is a big step watching him and me. Wait, hold on. Slow down. I'll let you speak. So this is a big step, Barry. This is a big step. Hold on, because I got a lot of stuff to conduct. We got a lot of stuff to go on here, partner. As a matter of fact, so this is a big step because you don't hear Sirius condoning, you know, the way that I come at him and giving me credit. You know what I'm saying? So this is a big step. You know what? I'm out of my feet, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm giving this guy a hand. Like, I'm giving him a hand that I've never heard Sirius do. You know what I'm saying? Especially on air. So I'm happy that this happened today on Sports City, October 7th, while he said he came for himself and really, you know, acknowledge that CP was right. And he don't ever want to give me that credit. So I'm going to get away from that because I do want to talk about the Houston situation, which I am, like, I'm so pumped up and, like, fired up at the same time. Like, I can't believe that this happened. Now, me being a normal human being, right, I'm like, hold on. Me being a normal citizen, I don't like to see people jobless or, you know, out of work because it's in my heart. I'd rather see people work and go get what they need to do. But watching Bill O'Brien go from organization to organization and move probably some of the biggest players in NFL history and watch it mess up, mm-hmm. and they watch him lose at home to Minnesota. Now, mind you, I'm not taking anything away from Minnesota. Minnesota has a ton of speed, a ton of athletes that you got to deal with. So that was a tough game. But for him to get rid of the likes of DeAndre Hopkins, I was not going to let him live this down if they perform. And I want to be fair, Sports City, if they performed under 7-9. So there's time to try and turn this around, but it doesn't look favorable for this to happen. So you have the likes of him getting rid of Randy Moss first when he was in New England. Then after Moss left, like later on that season or season after, him and Brady get into the argument on the sideline when Brady was going off on him and saying, yeah, no ish. And then he ended up being ousted out of New England. And he gets all the way down there to Houston, and Houston gave him the keys to the helicopter, the Ferrari, the Lambo, everything. And then he just ruined it, getting rid of probably the biggest piece on the team. That's, I'm saying it. He's bigger than J.J. and Deshaun Watson. At least to me, I feel D-Hop did just as much or more than both of those guys, or meant as much mm-hmm. as more than them, or those guys to this organization. And he loses at home, and they get rid of him in the first quarter of the season, at the first four games being the first four quarters. And I'm like, about time, but I know this is the bad part about Bill O'Brien, that he has a good football IQ. I think he'll find a job soon, if not within this season. I think they'll definitely end up getting him a job by the start of next season. I don't think he'll be out of football long. I want to know how you guys feel about this situation, and it's good that Siri did bring that team up because I could not wait to start cooking on Houston. But unfortunately, the time has come for him to be removed. And I'll come to you first, Barry. Your thoughts on the Houston move on getting rid of him after the 0-4 start?
I mean, I'm not surprised because, you know, a report came out that, you know, he and J.J. Watt got into it in practice.
Right.
And what they're saying is that that's the moment that he lost the team. So, I mean, I'm not surprised. 0-4 after a team, you know, that after a team that won the division last year, you know, really was up in that game against Kansas City and then got kind of blitzed in the second half. But, you know, it was bad losses this year. And listen, everybody knows trading Hopkins was not only a big mistake, it was a monumental failure to understand anything. Okay, just anything. If you want to trade one of the best receivers in the league, then trade him. But if you trade him for a bag of magic beans and say it's going to give you a beanstalk, I mean, you got to be out of your mind. You got nothing for this guy. You got nothing for him. So you trade him, and you got nothing in return. You traded Clowney, got really nothing in return. I mean, Bill O'Brien was a worse GM than he was a head coach. Was he a good head coach? He wasn't terrible. He was okay. I just think they needed a new voice. J.J. Watt kind of echoed that. I think bringing in somebody that's going to help Deshaun Watson, Bieniemy, is going to really help him get to the next level and get to where he needs to be as far as being on the level as – he's going to be on the same level as Mahomes and Jackson, et cetera. But, you know, he's a pretty damn good quarterback. So, listen, I think the move was long time coming. I think the whole staff is going to probably after this season – is going to be gone as well, just because you can't get rid of everybody midstream. But, you know, to Sirius's point, if this guy is fired, why is Quinn still have a job, and why is Gates' card still working? Hashtag Gates' entry card should not work anymore. I mean, that's this guy. Next caller. I can't anymore.
Okay, and but Jesus, I wasn't looking up. I was so caught up into the rapture of Barry preaching The Yankees are down 8-2. This is getting out of hand, people. Okay, so seriously, while the Yankees are going through it right now, your thoughts on what's going on in Houston since you tiptoed into that pot?
Cheap shot, people.
Yeah, it was lame. It's like he's a Twinkie fan. You can't expect anything, you know, smart and honorable from a Twinkie fan. But I digress.
Wait! What's that agreement? I don't. What happened?
I said you're a Twinkie fan. Keep it moving. Anyways, as I was saying, I spoke about this yesterday with Breaking News Hughes, and let's keep things in perspective for a second. Now, I stand by the firing. I think it should have happened a long time ago because, quite frankly, this is not the first nor the second time that Bill O'Brien has started a campaign 0-3, and he just so managed to, you know, he managed to benefit from the division being as bad as it is and them catching lightning in a bottle. But the first three games of their season, the 2020 season, they played Kansas City on the road. They played Baltimore, and they played Pittsburgh. You know what I'm saying? Arguably three of the toughest AFC opponents that they're going to face the rest of the season. Like, I don't know of anybody, you know, who would be able to fare well and win those ball games versus those opponents. Here's why I felt the firing should have happened now. And I'm not sure if I'm tipping in the passing. I'm gonna speak on Dwayne Haskins too, but that's another conversation for after this. However, here's why I think the firing should have happened now. In those three games, Minnesota, they didn't even compete. You know what I'm saying? They looked like they didn't know how to block it. They didn't know how to catch it. They didn't know how to run it. Like, I get it. You're playing two elite defenses in today's game in Baltimore and Pittsburgh. You lose a game against the Kansas City Chiefs that nobody in the world expected you to win. However, you have to at least compete. You know what I'm saying? Now, we understood that there were some rumblings and some issues going on behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying? The fact that it came out today that J.J. Watt and him had some type of altercation came as no shock, because if you've been paying attention, he's had altercations with stars before, you know, this whole thing with J.J. Watt. CP alluded to it. He had beef with Randy Moss. He had, you know, documented and you know, beef with DeAndre Hopkins, which is why he's in Arizona. He had beef with a couple of players, you know, on the Houston, on the Houston team. So the fact that he had beef didn't come as a surprise. I disagree with you. I don't think he's a good football coach because he's subpar. He's subpar wherever he goes. You know what I'm saying? Keep taking it from me. It's when he came from Penn State. I'm a Penn State fan.
I don't want to say that he's a bad coach, because he is able to put wins up. He's able to get the product out there good. It's just that they were off to a bad start right now, and he wasn't successful at all postseason wise with Houston. But he's been able to get Houston to the postseason. He's been able to get them there.
What's the problem with that? Again, you play in one of the worst divisions in football. So what?
True.
You won a couple games against a pitiful Jacksonville team, an underperforming Indianapolis Colts team, and a Tennessee team that just now started getting themselves together. So what? At the end of the day, you get to put on a hat and a t-shirt that says champions. You ain't done jack nor squat to teams with winning records. I don't care if you won division. Congratulations, you got a trophy. You get a participation award. You're supposed to compete. This brother does not compete against elite competition, and he has shown that throughout the course of his career. And you timed up by the simple fact that he had beef with his quote-unquote stars. This should have happened years ago.
And serious, let's be Anne Frank about this right now. D-Hop and Watson were boys. You don't think Watson was hurt,
right,
that his boy got traded away for nothing?
Clemson,
and
Clemson
no explanation.
Clemson boys. Clemson boys.
Clemson
Larry
boys.
Exactly.
That's scum. Yeah. And your franchise quarterback, are you paying a lot of money to, you trade his best player and his best friend? There has to be consequences and repercussions.
Well,
Yeah, but the only repercussion that they took, or the only way that they addressed it, was because him and JJ got into an argument. But you think about this with him and JJ getting into an argument. He has had it out with all Hall of Famers or going to be Hall of Famers, like no doubt. You got the Randy situation. You got the Tom Brady blow up on the sideline. You got D-Hop. And you got J.J. Watt. These guys are all Hall of Fame players, or if not in the Hall of Fame. Randy's the only one that's in there now. The rest of these guys are balling. He is having it out with some of the best players in the NFL's eyes ever. Like, this is the, I don't know. Like, can he go back to New England and get a job? Like, because that's what a lot of these guys go tough their tail and come back up here to the New England area and come up here. But it's him and his game. Like, what does he cower down to, you know?
Here's the thing. I said this yesterday when I was talking with Breaking News Hughes. A lot of guys from the Bill Belichick coaching tree, they think they went to Harvard or something like that, and they leave thinking that they boo-boo don't stink and that they can talk to anybody else type of way and run your type of system, and you have to cater your system to fit your players, not your players to fit your system. And what happened with Bill O'Brien is he got too big for his britches, and now this man is on the employment line. I don't think he gets another job this year. I don't think he does, because
one of his boys will give him a job.
And guess who his boy is that will give him a job? Guess who?
Matt Patricia.
I just don't get it. Like, something's going on more or less defensively, and Bevel is doing the best he can. But then, as you know, they start loading up Stafford to pass the ball when Adrian Peterson's been running the hell out of the ball. It's like, why are you not feeding Adrian Peterson? So it's like, do you get the offensive mind of Bill O'Brien to come help Bevel to work with Stafford? Like, I don't know how that works. So that's the potential is there for that also. I don't know, but that would be interesting to see if that were to end up happening, if Patricia would bring him there just to save face for the rest of this season. But I think Patricia's actually out of the way too. And it's a carousel of coaches that are just hanging on by a thread. Like Sirius said, with Quinn, you got Patricia, you got Gase. I don't even know how Gase is still sitting in New York at all. Gase could be looking for tickets and houses somewhere else out of Jersey or New York, wherever he's located, or Connecticut if he's here. And I feel bad for your situation in New York because you just got judged there, and he's not making that big of a difference. If they get rid of him, do they go to Garrett?
Nah.
Does Garrett have head coaching
I don't see that happening. I really don't see that happening. I think you give Judge a chance. I think you give him a couple of years. I think Gettleman's the guy that has to go. But, I mean, honestly, though, I think the biggest surprise this year is the other team in Texas, the Cowboys. I mean, I didn't think they were going to be – I thought they would win the division, and he probably still will, maybe at 7-9. But their defense is historically bad. I mean, they're giving up over 40 points a game. They had no fight. They couldn't stop anything. It looked like a Division III like team, you know, the best team playing against the worst team. They couldn't stop them on offense. You know, it was pretty bad. I mean, and not to go off a beaten path, but TP remembers this. We played football together, and we played a team. We put up, I don't remember, 40 points in the first half, and then they took us out of the game. And then they started to come back against our JV squad, so we had to go back in the game, scored a couple more touchdowns, and I think the final score was like 60-something or 40-something. That's what that game felt like. They got up down 41-14. They came right back and were down by 41-38. And then, you know, Odell Beckham takes his end-around sweep, goes back about 20 yards, and then runs back downfield for another 50 and scores a touchdown. It was pathetic, that defense. The Cowboys are in a lot of trouble. I don't know why you thought McCarthy was going to be the answer. It's just another puppet for Jerry Jones to bring into Dallas, somebody not like Parcells, somebody not like Jimmy Johnson that will, you know, do his bidding and do what he says. It's just not – Dallas is just in a rut. They're an average team. They will be an average team forever. This team is not equipped for the Super Bowl.
So, and this is the interesting part, because I feel bad for Dak, because Dak is having these contract
mm-hmm.
issues. And Dak is sitting up here trying
to
sign the
best. He's out of the contract, TT.
But he's putting up numbers, though. That's the crazy part about it. Dak is actually putting up over 400,
mm-hmm.
450 to 500 yards passing a game. But you look at it, that's the same makeup. Hold on. I got you. I'm cooking. I got
mm-hmm.
you. Let me
mm-hmm.
make sense of this. Let me finish. This is the same makeup that they had for Aaron Rodgers, the same makeup. So
mm-hmm.
if you look at this, they're trying to force him to pass the ball at a clip that Aaron Rodgers did, where Aaron Rodgers was more effective passing the ball. Not to say that Dak can't pass the ball, because Dak was one of the best passers in the league last year. But Dak is more of a mobile quarterback. Dak has a plenty of tools in the wide receiver cavalry. But behind him is one of the top, if not the best, running back in the league. And you're taking the ball out of his hands and start forcing the ball passing and watching Dak throw interceptions. Like, you're forcing Dak to throw the ball to the other team. Like, he's not as efficient as Aaron Rodgers is. I feel bad, because this could be a situation where they have to make their bet right now, because they could end up looking like they're going to hang on to McCarthy. Or do they cut their losses and getting rid of McCarthy? Like, these are the things that the Dallas Cowboys face. And this is a situation. This is a situation where they have to think about this, being the Cowboys. Like, where do they go from here? Like, are they going to sit on a guy like McCarthy and watch this get worse? Do they get rid of Dak? Do they keep Dak? Like all these questions are arising within the first quarter of the season for the Cowboys.
If the Cowboys are bad enough and they got to the top of the draft, I personally would not be signed back, and I would get Trevor Lawrence. Now, do I think they're going to be the number one pick? No. But if it came down to it, that's what I would do. I think Dak is a good quarterback. Dak is a top 10 quarterback. I used to kill this guy for years. I've come to respect his game in that he is a top quarterback. Now, he's not one of the elite quarterbacks, but he's a top quarterback. Is he worth top money? No. Do you pay him that money? Probably, because you're Dallas and you're stupid. But the fact is, he's getting $500 because the defense is giving up 600 yards. He has to throw the ball. They have to throw from behind. He can't hand the ball off to Elliott in the backfield with a lead, because they don't have a lead. So his stats are empty. And you know what Dallas said? He's playing himself out of the contract, because when it comes down to a big situation in a game in the fourth quarter, what does he do? Hold on to the ball, get sacked, or he throws a pick. He doesn't play big. He puts up all these numbers, but when it matters, he doesn't get it done. Last year against the Eagles, he didn't get it done. Against the Jets, he didn't get it done. That's Dallas in general. Their defense is horrible. The secondary is the worst. The whole defensive scheme is a mess right now. They had players in the right position last year. Now Mike Nolan comes in here. How does he have a job? He comes in and totally changes it around and doesn't play to the team, to the talent he has. He tries to make that play, those players play to his style, and it's not working. So, and listen, Aaron Rodgers, if it wasn't for Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers would be the MVP right now. As Stephen A. said, he's a bad man, and he's with us.
Look at you. Boy, oh boy, you threw a big old piece of steak on the grill, and I'm trying to give us a good closeout for the next 10 minutes. And that is the debate right now, is the MVP. Well, and it's the first quarter. I feel like it is a big early jump for us to do that. But
sure.
Who is playing more electrifying? It's like, okay, Aaron Rodgers is putting up some gaudy stats. And it's like the way that him and the coach has been putting it together, as soon as they got rid of McCarthy, I mean, what did they go? They went 13-3 last year. And right now they're unbeaten. And they figured it out, like, okay, let's give our defense a chance to pin their ears back instead of making them have to force to stop the run or be effective in trying to stop the pass. Like, we're at least giving them a lead. And he's at least been able to put up over 30 points at least every game to outshoot you. And even if it is a shootout, hopefully he gets the ball back so he can drain the clock and end up putting up some, at least getting them close within kicking range and letting Crosby say goodnight to you. So that's what's making it dangerous on Rodgers' side.
LaFleur and Rodgers have figured it out, TP, and it's scary.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, I wish this chemistry would happen with Stafford. It's like, and me being a diehard Lions fan, I'm a part of all of the doggone groups and you got to hear all of the people from Michigan, oh, it's not Stafford's fault. Like, Stafford's great. He's an awesome quarterback. It's like, I feel like the old Bugs Bunny, segment when he'd be like, hey, shut up. Like I really be at that point where it's like, yo, enough is enough. Like they still, he's been in the league for 12, 11 years. Like, no. No, he doesn't even have the capacity to threaten Rodgers, like, at all. He's in your division until they trade you or you retire. Like, you show me that you could compete with the elite. Like, you don't threaten anybody. Like, he took like two or three sacks in this past Sunday, similar to the way Hoyer did. Like, confused to be in the league this long. Like, Rodgers and them won't take that sack. They'll get rid of the ball. They're smart. They'll scramble at the right time. Like, Stafford will scramble when the pocket is, like, coming around them. And he'll try to skip through the tightest of gaps, and the tackle will just grab him by his jersey, and it's a sack. Like, it's like, no, you don't sit up there and take that type of sack. And let me go to the other side of the spectrum, since I'm already talking about one guy, NFC North. You go from Rodgers to Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, okay, let me be fair, Sports City. Tyler Lockett is his speedster. DK Metcalf is the monster. And now they got that hurricane at the tight end position in Greg Olsen, right? That's his receiving core, and he is lighting the scoreboard up every Sunday. It is not fair, except this Sunday. And you guys didn't hear the brunch Sunday, because I knew something was up. Something, but they ended up covering. I do got to give Russ credit that they ended up covering, but the score was lower than I would anticipate up against the Miami Dolphins. I knew something was up because the spread looked fishy. But for Russell Wilson to be doing the damage that he's doing right now with not an elite receiver, like, yes, he has a speech to Tyler Lockett to blow the doors off the hinges off the top of a defense. And DK Metcalf is Megatron 2.0. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Like, put some respect on those two guys' names. I mean, Metcalf had that goof in against Dallas, but Lockett is so underrated.
Right. No. I'm not. No. Don't think I'm saying it like I'm being disrespectful. Like,
Right.
I'm respecting. I'm saying these guys aren't your. Let me think of your Devontae Adams. They aren't your Julio Joneses. These aren't your DeAndre Hopkins. You know what I'm saying? Like they're trying to make names for themselves in the league. You know what I'm saying? And Russell. And this type of Russell. This is the crazy part. Russell even up there back there buying time and scrambling and outrunning the tackles. He's sitting back there being that pocket passer and ripping these dudes apart like unreal. What he's able to do, like, I don't know, Barry. I'm mad that you threw that steak on the grill between Rodgers and Russ because I don't know which way to go MVP-wise. I wanted to get to the NBA Finals at least, but I'll hurry up and get that. Go ahead.
No, I think 2 weeks in I would have said Russ, and I have him on my fantasy team, and he's saving my fantasy team. But Rodgers' numbers are gaudy. I think he's, what, 70% completion percentage? 13 touchdowns, no intercepts. I mean, like
no picks,
and he's unbelievable. I it's gonna be a tight race. I think I wouldn't be surprised if Rodgers got it. I think Russ deserves it because of what he's doing out there. I think it's gonna come down to who has the better record, but I mean, it's a toss up with those. I mean, Mahomes is Mahomes, and everybody knows he's the best quarterback in the league. But those two guys are off to such a great start. Really?
Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league? Oh, really?
Yes, I, that's what I heard. Some people keep saying.
Right, because we're talking about Russell and Rodgers. I don't know. So. Seriously, who do you think? And I'll put Mahomes in there. Seriously, who do you think between the three? Since Barry started it up, he said Russell or Rodgers. Throw Mahomes in there because he is electrifying the start of the season, too. Who do you got?
You know what? I think all three, honestly, are making a legitimate case for themselves, but we're forgetting one valuable name. And his thing, I threw shade at him for so many years, but Josh Allen right now is playing football. You know what I'm saying? And what the Buffalo Bills are able to do now, like, keep in mind, the Buffalo Bills so long have been run, you know, check it down. They go out and get one weapon. They go to Stephon Diggs, and all of a sudden, that wide receiving core is doing crazy stuff. So I mean, don't get it twisted. I think Russell Wilson is doing work, you know what I'm saying? But we've seen this from him before. Keep in mind, gentlemen, he started out hot last year and then cooled off as the season progresses. You know, Patrick Mahomes is going to do Patrick Mahomes type stuff. You know what I'm saying? No slouch to that. You know what I'm saying? But what Aaron Rodgers and what Josh Allen are doing right now, man, Aaron Rodgers literally is playing outside of his mind. Again, I spoke about this yesterday with breaking news. He thinks that, you know, there's some type of unlocking of Aaron Rodgers or just that in the third. I disagree with that, but I digress. The man is putting up gaudy numbers. And don't sleep on Josh Allen, man, because if the Buffalo Bills are able to keep this up and keep this going, I don't expect them to win every game. But, you know, Josh Allen is playing some amazing football right now.
I get it, serious. He is playing some amazing football. But with the three names that I just said, Russell, Rodgers, and Mahomes, I don't – he's doing work. He's doing work. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to – I'm not trying to play you with my cousin, rest is Coach Abou. He's a Bills fan, and I'm glad you did that because he'd be like, you ain't talking about the Bills. I ain't not talking about the Bills. He's incredible for what he's doing, but the way that these dudes are electrifying the board, like, I feel like the Bills are going to run into a chainsaw sooner or later. Like, it's going to happen. I don't know who slows the Chiefs down. I don't know who slows Rodgers down. I don't know who slows Russ down. Like those three, like the Bills will run into a game where I feel like they can actually lose a game. Like, I feel like that can happen. Those three dudes.
I mean, they should have lost. They should have lost too. But, you know, at the end of the day, they are 4-0. And keep in mind, mm-hmm. I said this yesterday. The Green Bay Packers, the meat and potatoes of their schedule is ahead of them. You know what I'm saying? They played some pretty boo-boo defenses to date. You know what I'm saying?
Not next week. Not next week.
Exactly.
Tampa Bay.
We're going to learn a lot about all these quarterbacks, you know, as the season progresses. You know what I'm saying? But, again, through the first quarter of the season, I tip my cap to all four men because literally they literally have put, you know, the MVP mantle on notice, and it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers has played some subpar defenses. You know, Russell Wilson has played subpar defenses. Hell, he played the Dallas Cowboys and the stretch. If you play the Dallas Cowboys, I'm sorry, your numbers are going to be inflated. I don't care who you are. You know what I'm saying? But, again, Russell's doing work. I know, I'm not poo-pooing that, but, damn, you played the Dallas Cowboys, bro. Come on now.
Hey, I can't hold that against him. That's the team that's on the schedule. I can't get mad at what he did to the Cowboys in that game. Like, that's on the schedule. So, hey, at the end of the day, he outshot Dak. Dak had a shot to try to make it a game. He threw a pick in the back of the end zone at the end of the game. The rest of his
real talk. Since we're talking about Dak, don't throw shade on him either. Now, he's not going to be in the MVP race, but what he's doing right now is spectacular too. I mean, he threw for 500 yards three straight games. He lost. I'm going to twist it.
And he had to throw for 300 yards. Serious?
But he had to.
I can't give him. Listen, the Cavs on paper have the best offense in the league. On paper. Because they're always behind. They have to throw. They have to score all these points to get into the game. I can't give back the props like that. It's not translating to this. I'm sorry.
Hey, here's the thing. You kind of have to. Because their defense is as bad as it gets. But the fact that these games, if you look at these games, are somewhat close and respectable at the end, whether they made a run or they cut, you know, a big lead down to, you know, a possession, whatever the case may be, Dak is literally putting this team on his back. And it's like, yo, effing carry me. Like, he can't run the football because he's fumbled and three consecutive games. They're behind. They can't ground the pound. He's literally slinging that rock all over the place, again, because he has to, but the numbers that he's putting up is some kind of special.
Okay, so I'm going to do this quickly, Sports City, because we are running out of time, and I've been told that I have to start shutting down the kitchen early. We are at, like, I got the keys, and I got to start shutting this thing down. Bless you. You know, bless you. So, the crazy part is I didn't even get the main topic of the NBA Finals, where it's looking like it's about to be over, And Miami could have controlled the situation by at least trying to tie the series up, but they started taking some questionable shots in the tail end of the game, and Butler was cold, and especially I feel like that revved up LeBron's energy, you know, with him kind of calling him out while LeBron called him out in the first portion of the game three, and Butler did their thing, and now the Lakers are saying, oh, we're coming out wearing the black and black, yellow, and purple Mamba jerseys, and they don't lose in those jerseys, so that has hypened up. And also, I wanted to touch base on who wins tomorrow between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Chicago Bears. The Bears just lost their first game of the season, too. So this is a very interesting Thursday night game. Somehow, some way, the Bears are doing decent at the early portion of the season. So I don't know how you guys want to close up or deal with this topic, but I know we have to start closing up. So I don't know what topic you guys want to touch on. Barry, I'll let you go first.
I'm doing both. So I think the Bears are probably get beat. I think it'll be a close game. Probably Tampa Bay will win by like 3 points. Tom Brady looked okay in the second half, but I mean, he's still, you know, I mean, these are easy passes that he's hitting. So, but Tampa Bay is going to figure it out. They're a good team. And I think on the Bears, since turning to the right quarterback, haven't gotten it right. So, you know, it's kind of crazy. As far as the finals, listen, the Lakers made it justice. Give the credit. Frank Vivid, all the credit in the world. Anthony Davis took the challenge. He asked to guard Jimmy Butler, and he disrupted his game, his length, his ability to move laterally. I mean, Anthony Davis is such an anomaly that the big 7 foot guy that's really a point guard and can guard down in the block and down and out on the perimeter. It's easy to guard on the perimeter when you got big behind you that can cover up your mistakes, but he didn't let Jimmy Butler get going. LeBron had a rough first half that came out in the second half and really put in work and put the Lakers and put the Heat away. Lakers are probably going to get a gentleman's sweep. They're not losing Game 5 in Friday. That's just not going to happen. I don't think the Heat – I would like them to take it to six games, but it's not going to happen. LeBron gets his fourth chip. Still an NBA Finals losing record, but he gets 4 out of 10. Not bad. Okay, keep going. Villain.
Hey, Siri, your thoughts on the finals and the game tomorrow? Who do you like in a matchup, Bears or Bucks?
You know, honestly, man, I think the Bucks win this one going away. You know, I believe the Chicago Bears, you know, yeah, they should have run to Nick Foles from the jump. I get that. But I honestly said this on a show ago or a couple shows ago that I believe that the Chicago Bears are one of the most fraudulent 3-0 teams that we had. They should have lost to Detroit. They should have lost a couple other ones, a couple other games, but I digress. As for the NBA Finals, man, listen, I want more basketball. I applaud the league for being able to go down to the bubble and pull that off, but it ends Friday. You know, the only way this, you know, script, you know, would have been perfect is if, you know, the LA Lakers, you know, won their chip against the Boston Celtics. You know what I'm saying? The Celtics were the last, you know, opponent that Kobe beat for his championship. You know, they're in the Mamba jerseys Hollywood couldn't have wrote this any better. And I don't even think it's going to be close. I think they blitz them and get them out the way early. And LeBron and AD, you know, solidify that this season, and you know, we'll look to the off season. Keep in mind, AD can very easily opt out and go somewhere else after the season. So you know, we got some off season moves to be made, and we'll talk about that in another show, man. But it's a pleasure to be here with you guys, man. Willing to catch you up on the next time, man. Y'all be safe, man. Well, TP, I still hate you, Barry. Good holler at you, homie.
Listen, people, he just got out of church, and he said he hates me. When he came here, I gave it to him, but I'm going to turn this away from him. Hold on.
That's all I'm saying.
See, in Sports City, if y'all know the history here, you know who gave him that line here. You know who gave him that line here, Sports City. He meant, yo, you got to understand, Sports City. He's trying to come at me with what the jewels I give him. This is me, Sports City. I feed him. I feed this dude. You see what I'm saying?
Good
this
guy,
is how I can beat him.
Good guy.
But nothing, neither here nor there. Look, I try to talk. He tried to interrupt me. I let Sears get his lungs clear. This is how they do me, Sports City. They don't even try to, like, show me no gratitude, no nothing. They just want to be rude Pennsylvanian or rude Virginian. And you know what, Sports City? He got beef in his own house this Sunday, and I hope Jessica wins. Because if Jess wins, I'm talking so much stuff on here. You don't even know I'm going to clear him out to get back in the kitchen. Believe me, I'm not playing with him. Now, like I started out with serious. How do I say goodbye to what?
Miami just lit in the toilet. He's singing.
Miami is out of here. They already said they're going to wear the black and purple joints. And it's like, I already knew, like, this season would be dedicated to Kobe. Sports City, I'm getting, like, I'm going to get emotional here because it's like, everything that we went through, I've lost about 7 people close to me since March. And within the world, there's been over 200,000 people that have lost their lives within this country. There's probably over 1 million worldwide. And everything has been lost in the sauce, including the death of Kobe Bryant. And this was before the spill out of everything going crazy with the pandemic. Mm. Every break in the huddle, every time they come out of the locker room, the Lakers are saying, Mamba, believe me, they are going to push through this game tomorrow and get rid of the Heat. I'd be impressed if the Heat can survive the storm and win game 5. If they can pull that off, I tip my hat. If they can force that game 6 and win game 6 and get to a game 7, I'll be stunned. But right now, the good times that made them laugh. It's over for them.
Wow.
And I'm gonna go against the grain. I think the Bears get it done and pull off the upset up against Tom Brady and the Bucks. They are in Soldier Field. If Khalil Mack could get back there, which I think he can, and get to Brady, we know how Brady is not good with dealing with the rush like that, and Mack is probably one of the best weapons. I was going to say perfect weapon, but I didn't want to jinx it. So I'm going to say the best option to get to Brady and cause erratic situations. And knowing that O.J. Howard is out and it's just Gronk, and Gronk has been coming up with some catches, but I think that they may end up suffering another loss in Chicago. I'm going against the grain. I think the Bears pull this off tomorrow. Stay tuned. We'll be back Sunday with the brunch. Saturday, I'm at the edge of my seat. I'm nervous biting the hell out of my nails. My boys got the biggest game of the season. I didn't think it would come down to this. I am a Trevor Lawrence fan. But I love the U, and I feel like we could go into Death Valley and pull off the upset. That'll be so big if they can get this game. Of course. Yeah, I'm going to ride with my boys. Who do you like in college football? Tell me.
My team's going to lose to Notre Dame. That's fine. You had COVID, okay?
Yeah, I know. You guys are sick. So on that note, tell a friend to tell a friend. Sorry, I apologize. Lord, forgive me for saying that, man. Let me knock on wood, man. I don't want to have it like that. Like, I don't want them to be sick. That's not what I hope for. But I mean, yeah,
see, what kind of hero you are.
I had to get that crack. And you wanted to talk junk about my boys. Of course you do. Of course. I don't interrupt you. I'm trying to get a close out here. This is what I do with my clothes. I always got to fight to get out the kitchen because they're grabbing at my plates and pulling on my cage. And like, wait, we got some more to get from you. Wait, I'm trying. Like, I try to feed them. And here go Barry and Sears talking their way out the door. We go past 10 o'clock. They tell me we got to get out of here. They're telling me to get out of here. I'm trying. And they still pull me, Sports City. So on that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that this is Jeff again. And if they don't know, now they know.